This is CliffCentral.com.
On a perfect spring Sunday morning, the type of weather where birds seem to chirp in concert, chirping anthems of happiness, I was picked up by the family car of an ex-girlfriend. The only thing I was told was we're going to have breakfast and her father would meet me there. I tried to get the final destination out of the driver, who was a cousin, but as you know, blood is thicker than water. He was loyal, refusing to budge. After a 40-minute drive, we arrived in a small mountainous town, 25 miles or 25 minutes to be approximate, outside the closest city. We drove up a narrow road where there were a number of guest houses. We drove into the last one on the right. My ex and her father were there smiling as if they knew I had been researching for her dream diamond ring. But there would be no way for them to know because she and I hadn't spoken about it. As we settled in, the father asked, "What do you think of this area?" I said, "It looks incredible, extremely tranquil, the type of place I would love to have a second home." He looked at me and said, "If you marry my daughter, this piece of land and property across the street, just past those trees, will be yours." Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show, the show where we explore the extraordinary power of the brain and how the elevation of your mind's capacity can lead to personal and organizational influence and impact. Before we dig into today's episode, I want to thank everyone who has subscribed and rated the show. You mean the world to me. Today, we explore the mind of a property investor. Whether you think you are in position to invest or not, this conversation I'm going to have in a moment with my guest, a property coach, will inspire you and open up your mind to a whole new world. As with my opening story, property has been used for social, political, and individual manipulation and wealth creation for thousands of years. Empires have crumbled because of property. There is still no peace in the Middle East, largely because of the history of whose land and property spaces belong to who. From an individual perspective, very few people receive education about the power of property. I'm one of them. I was never taught about property as a kid. But I've always known that whether you are playing a board game of Monopoly or you're playing the real game of life, the stakes are high and the opportunities are large. But there are conflicting messages out there. Some argue it's better to rent than buy for wealth creation. In fact, MoneyUnder30.com gave 5 really good reasons why one should rather rent than buy. MarketWatch.com says renting may be better than owning to build wealth, if you're disciplined to invest the money you save by not owning a property. Ken Johnson, real estate economist at Florida Atlantic University's College of Business, says, when considering buying and building wealth through equity appreciation versus renting and reinvesting a portfolio of stocks and bonds, property appreciation does not change the results. But conversely, there are the other group. There is compelling research from a book called A Place Called Home, The Social Dimensions of Home Ownership, which argues that buying and investing in property not only leads to more wealth, but to being a better citizen in the communities you invest in. Today, we explore the mind of a property investor with former management consultant, now property coach, Carlo Mariani. Carlo, welcome to the Brain and Brand Show.
Thank you, Tim. It's absolutely a pleasure to be here.
You are Italian. When and why did you come to South Africa?
By absolute accident. And just as much as I became a property investor by absolute accident, if I can tell you a story about how I accessed property and the power of property for the first time, it was purely by accident. Obviously, being Italian, you know, I've got lots of Italian friends, and one of them, a real good friend of mine, owns restaurants. And I saw him continuously losing money or certainly struggling with his Italian restaurants and making lots and lots of money with property. So I thought to myself, well, if I can do property without the restaurants, then I'll be fine, which is exactly what I did.
Beautiful. When you were introduced to the power of property, when was that?
It was very late, as you said, despite the fact that I come from very much of an Ivy League type of background in education. I was never really formally educated in property, whether that is by design or by mistake. So I really went through a process of self-education, coming to South Africa in 1999 for the first time. And, you know, as you know, I like to define myself as a reborn South African. And, you know, coming from London at the time, I saw our property was, it was dirt cheap. And I thought that possibly can be right. And eventually when, you know, the government of South Africa afforded me a permanent residence permit and an ID, I think the second thing, the first thing I did was I went up for a party. And the second thing I did, I went to the bank and I bought a property.
You are married to sort of a woman from the Southern African region.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's important because you see this as home. You're not just here investing in property and you plan on, you know, just kind of leaving anytime. You do see this as a place to invest because you believe in the place.
Absolutely. I always say that, you know, I came to South Africa by mistake and I had to find a reason to stay here and find a way to stay here. And being an entrepreneur and being sort of like a passionate sort of property investor was a great way of doing it. And I think the mind of a property investor is a mind that always focuses on the opportunity side. And I think South Africa, despite, you know, his unique challenges and uncertainty, is a land of tremendous opportunity. It was a land of tremendous opportunity in 1999. It is equally, if not even more, a land of opportunity in 2018.
When you were in London before you came to South Africa, what was the difference between your mindset then and your mind now when it comes to property? Because that's been a 21-year gap. How has your mind evolved when it comes to this property?
Yeah, I can hardly remember what my brain was like some 20 years ago. Certainly, I would say that I came from a mind frame of, you know, being an executive working for somebody to becoming an entrepreneur, and that's the fundamental change. I believe that property is a brilliant sort of like boot camp for anybody that wants to be a successful entrepreneur. The disciplines and the mind frame that you need to adopt to be successful in property are largely, if not entirely, the same that you need to succeed as an entrepreneur.
Why not just enjoy this journey alone? You know, alone. Why not just make a lot of money? Why do you care to help others on their property journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's like the same way when you travel. I don't know, like I always think that traveling with somebody is a lot more fun. You know, whether you're going to Roma or whether you're going to New York, it's just a lot more fun. And a journey in company is definitely a much more fun and enjoyable journey to do. I think, you know, I was blessed some 5 years ago with a son. And that changes your life forever, and it makes you it reminds you that the purpose of life is really to help other people growing, rather than sort of like selfishly growing yourself all the time. So that's a big fundamental for me.
And that's true. I mean, if people are better off, then your son will be better off as well, right?
Yeah, and I take him to my investment properties already.
Is this for everyone, or are there only certain type of people who should get involved in this?
I definitely believe it's for everybody. Everybody that is sort of serious about sort of like building sustainable wealth and building intergenerational wealth should do some degree of property. You know, whether you need to do it full time or part time, simply as a mean to sort of like integrate your pension or your retirement plans. Yes, it is for everybody. The great thing is that you actually don't need to be a genius to be very, very successful in property. It fundamentally requires sort of basic disciplines, which are not difficult, and you are 90% likely to succeed, unlike other ventures and other benefits where you are more like 10% likely to succeed. So the stakes are in your favor.
Who are some of the greatest property minds in history? Some people you look up to?
Yeah, you know, like I think interestingly enough, I would say that, you know, as I said, you know, you don't have to necessarily be a genius to be in property. I mean, nobody can deny that property became a mainstream, wealth creation vehicle through Robert Kiyosaki. So I definitely look up to him, and I always sort of like really tell people to read some of his work. But I think what is important is that, you know, you learn by doing. You don't just learn by studying and becoming a professional student and that's it. Mm. You know, the sort of like the school of hard knocks is certainly a very powerful one for you to to get onto the journey.
Trump may be questionable when it comes to his moral sort of compass, but he clearly has put and left his footprint in New York and other places in the world. You can't go to New York without, you know, thinking about Trump Tower and so forth. In fact, recently I was in New York and I remember people being extremely frustrated because they've kind of blocked off a key part of the city. Like that space in the city is an important part of the city. And because his wife kind of lives there and his family lives there, they've blocked it off. What do you think about Trump as an investor?
Yeah, well, he's very well known for saying, build it and they will come. So that tells us a lot about the mind of a successful investor, where I believe there is a very fine balance between being a visionary, like some of his work and developments in property have been, and at the same time being very pragmatic and very practical. So that sort of fine balance certainly shapes a lot of the great investors in the industry.
I mean, he sort of grew up privileged. I mean, there's a joke around someone, I think his father gave him something like $1 million, and he's like, oh, that was nothing. You know, how does privilege play a role in whether or not you should be thinking about property? If someone works at what point can you even start thinking about it?
Yeah, I think privilege is actually not very important in terms of granting you the opportunity to become very successful at this career, which I also like to call a game because it's a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, you have to have fun to be successful at it. And the people that I know that are incredibly successful, they don't do it for the money anymore. They do it for the fun. So no, I don't think privilege can be a great excuse, and we shouldn't sort of like use that excuse that much. I often like to say that you don't have a money problem, you've got an idea problem, and that's where I believe it's critical to invest in your education as a property investor.
But from a starting point perspective, I mean, let's be clear. If you work at a job that's paying you minimum wage, should you be thinking about property?
Indeed, even more of a reason why you should be thinking about property, because you're not going to get wealthy through the job that you've got or a very slow drag on promotions through your career.
Okay, cool. So how much do you need to get in this game? Like how much, what do you need, you know, just for someone who's listening, who's going, look, I'm a student, I'm about to graduate, and I'm going to get my first job. What should they be thinking when it comes to investing in property?
You certainly do not need money. In actual fact, not having any money at all or little money can be the greatest asset and advantage that you've got, because it's going to stretch your mind and stretch your creativity to sort of like make deals happen without having to rely on your money or your mom's and dad's money. So take that as an opportunity to stretch your boundaries, stretch your imagination, and it can certainly be done.
Let's debunk a few myths. I mean, you've commissioned your own study recently as a form of really wanting to be an insights-driven property coach. You want to know what's really out there. What is the sentiment from the public? Firstly, before we go into the myth, just tell us a little bit about the study you did yourself.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a joke that says that the cheapest commodity in the world is opinions. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of opinions, a lot of debates about expropriation without compensation. And I decided to just embark in a quantitative survey to really sort of measure the impact that this debate is having on the financial decisions and the property-related decisions of the average South African.
Got it. And the research, I mean, some of the insights have come back. What are you learning?
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I don't want to sort of like say too much because, you know, we're going to be soon releasing the results of the survey. But it certainly sort of like highlights a tremendous opportunity to sort of like tap into the uncertainty that is leading a lot of people to freeze, to stop doing anything, hoping and expecting clarity. Whether that's going to come or not, that's highly debatable. But it certainly sort of highlights the challenges, but a very sizable chunk of opportunities for those people that can see through the fog and the mist of this debate, looking at the long-term success of the country as a whole.
Would you say that a great property mind would be almost salivating right now at this whole land expropriation thing? You know, I don't want to make it seem, you know, trivialize the moment, because it's a big moment for, you know, the whole country. But is there a lot of upside in this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm forgetting who I'm quoting now, and forgive me for that. But, you know, it says, be greedy when other people are fearful, and be fearful when other people are greedy. So that's certainly sort of like a point of reference for people to judge for themselves what course of action they should take.
One of the myths you've debunked already is that you don't need to be rich, you don't need to have money. Any other myths you want to debunk about property investing?
There just so many of them that, you know, you're catching me a little bit sort of like unprepared. But I would say that just focus on the one day you don't need money, and that's a great starting point.
Let's talk about your offering as a property coach. What do you offer someone one-on-one? How can you take them from A to Z?
Our offering is exceptionally simple. We offer independent education to the aspiring and to the experienced property investor that want to fast-track their property success.
You're going to be launching the results. You often host conversations around property where people can come and network and meet other like minds and join this kind of community of like-minded thinkers. What do you have coming up soon?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the mind of a property investor is a social mind. It's a mind that understands that, and there's a beautiful African proverb that I often like to quote, to say that if you want to go fast, go on your own. If you want to go far, go with somebody. So meeting like-minded people and exposing yourself to the education and to the latest trends, like we do in events that we run regularly as the property coach, will certainly give you the opportunity.
I'm very passionate about, as you know, the brain. I'm going to pop into some of your events and share some thoughts about behavioral science and neuroscience. Coming up soon, can someone, there's an event coming up now in October. Yeah, I just want to make sure that they can reach you for specific details as you finalize the event details. Where can they contact you?
Yeah, they can reach me at Carlo, that's Carlo, at thepropertycoach.co.za.
That's easy.
Yeah, that's easy enough. And then we'll be very happy to send you a VIP invitation for our upcoming sort of like expropriation without compensation, the opportunities and the challenges for the property investor, which is scheduled for the 9th of October in Senton.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us on the Brain and Brand Show. The property on the side of that mountain became symbolic for how I see relationships. Even though we never got married in a cultural way, we managed to squeeze ownership away from the father. It's a podcast for another day. It changed how I see the power of land and property. Get in contact with Carlo ASAP. We'll be back next week with the next episode.
This is CliffCentral.com.